I think we just did our whole interview off the air.
Yeah, it went really well. Steve, we want to thank Steve Byrne for stopping by.
Thanks for having me. See you guys.
This was fun, Steve.
Great. By the way, I was walking here. I walked past Christopher Guest and Jamie Lee Curtis just outside the building.
Did you?
It's one of those things where it's like, I don't want to bug him, but it's like, that is like one of my, it just, you know, best
show. You
should
have invited him to come in with you.
Yeah.
Come on, book our show for us.
That's right, yeah. Guest slash producer, Steve Byrne. We'll get that guy. He's got a knapsack. He looks interesting.
He looks very interesting. Bring him
in. Almost like a Christopher Guest.
Years ago, Chris Guest was on with us. We had him in studio, and he, you know, he's a genius,
but
he's very shy. Like, do you remember? It
yes,
took a
I
lot
do.
To get anything
he was
out
in
of
with
him.
Eugene Levy, correct?
Yeah, right. For Best in Show. They were promoting Best in Show.
For as hilarious as he is, I've always heard he's a little more recluse, and that factored into the algorithm of, like, don't bug him.
Yeah.
Just don't bug him.
Did they look
just
like they were
it.
Shopping? What were they doing?
They looked happy.
Yeah, well, they weren't fighting or anything?
They weren't fighting.
Right,
they
good.
Looked cool.
Yeah.
You could tell they're both.
They are cool.
Both in black.
Yeah.
Cool glasses. You know,
very trendy.
You look at them, you go, they're in a different tax bracket than I am.
Yes.
I live in.
You can tell by looking at them.
Yeah. They looked successful.
That's so weird you bring that up, though, because sometimes, you know, being in Chicago, we do run into a lot of celebrities, and you just never know if you should say anything.
Yeah, yeah.
You try and figure out their vibe, and then what if they're jerks? Then they ruin it for you.
Yeah, every now and then you come across the person you could wait to meet, and you're like, I wish I never met him.
Right.
And it's happened a handful of times to me, and I just would...
Can you give us a hint as to who disappointed you?
One I don't mind talking about.
Who?
That... For years, I worked at the Comedy Cellar. You know, it's on Louis all the time and everything. Seinfeld is just a person. I'm just like, I love the show.
Yeah.
I enjoy his stand-up. And then just the times I've been around, I'm just like, would it kill you to just be somewhat nice to somebody?
It just
bums me out. It just really bums me out. And there's very few people I would ever publicly say something
right.
on the airwaves, because I like to keep things on the up. But it's just over the course of years, once or twice you'd see something, you'd be like, oh, maybe he's having a bad day. Or he's entitled to that. But you're just like, why are you so smug? Yeah, I mean, you got 40 Porsches.
Right.
You know, your wife's beautiful. It just, I don't know. It just always bummed me out. I don't want to be negative. I don't want to be that guy. But it just always was a thorn in my side of just like, I think it hurt me more because you see how, and you know how talented he is, too.
Oh, yeah, very.
It's like, I always remember Jack Lemmon said something years ago. He's like, anytime somebody comes up, you know, they'll always remember that 30 or 45 seconds, and that is a gift you can give to somebody else, that they'll remember that, and you can make them happy.
Yeah.
Why not choose to make them happy? And then you go off on a USO tour with Drew Carey, and he's, you know, eating lunch or eating dinner, and we've been hopping to five or six different bases, and everybody comes up to him, hey, Drew, can I... Stands right up, takes a picture.
Good.
And he takes
walks
the time
off,
with
takes
them.
Takes the time, and you just like, you know... Why can't everybody be as nice as Drew Carey or countless others?
I try to tell Wendy, because she has, you can't see now, but she has a stun gun and she has it ready at all times.
Oh, my
and
God.
People come up to her and she zaps them, and I go, you can't keep doing that.
People try to escape me. I will talk to them so long.
Yeah.
But Elvis Costello was like that to me the very first time I, you know, stalked him after a show, and I met him, and he was really kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know what? Maybe this was just a bad day for him. And then I had since met him, and he was really awesome. So
That's nice. You
had a chance for Jerry to kind of, it's not just one and done. He's been kind of sluggish a lot.
Yeah, 7 years. And look,
that's
that reputation,
not cool.
I'm not saying something that isn't out there in the ethos either. I mean, there have been many things. If you look it up, it's out there.
Do you think his success is based on a need to spite you? Do you think he said when he was a young comic, I want to succeed just to get at that Steve Byrne and show him what's what?
Yeah. TBS's Three Seasons Sullivan and Son, Steve Byrne, needs to be put in his place. Couldn't even make it on network television. Basic cable televisions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Advertisement sponsored basic cable television, Steve Byrne, needs to be put in his place.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's fact. People know this.
Well, I think, being from, again, we were talking about Pittsburgh, but I think Pittsburgh has a way of bringing you off your high horse. But I've always been acknowledging that, you know, look, I'm a comedian. When I was taping Sullivan and Son, you know, it's a Warner Brothers lot. So you see, you know, all the sound stages, and it's Two Broke Girls and Big Bang Theory and Ellen and all these great shows, Mike and Molly and Melissa McCarthy and all that. And you go out there, And I remember these tours, you know, would always go through the sound stages.
Yeah.
And so outside the sound studios, you see outside all the other shows, Porsches, Lamborghinis, Jaguars, Ferraris. If you came to Sullivan and Son, it looked like a teacher's parking lounge. It was like a Kia Sorento, a Toyota. Roy Wood Jr. used to ride his Huffy, and he'd take the wheel inside with him. Like, dude,
really?
No one is stealing your Huffy on the Warner Brothers lot. So, yeah, God has always let me know, hey, get too high on your haunches there, Bernie.
Now, I know your friends. This is Chicago, so we only have a handful of celebrities, but you're friends with one of our... Yeah, we only have a couple, but you're friends with Vince Vaughn, who is one of our legitimate celebrities. How did you become friends with Vince Vaughn?
A Craigslist.
Oh, yeah.
4 a.m., I was up.
What was he selling?
Yeah. A wicker basket. That was he saw me on this... basically, he did that Wild West comedy tour. And so one of the guys got sick, and he asked Ahmed, who's a good friend of mine from the Comedy Store, said, hey, do you know somebody that could fill in? And he said, oh, this guy Steve Byrne just moved here. He's great. So then I went and did the show, and it was one of those shows where you're just like, please let this go well. You're in Vegas. It's 2,500 people. At the time, he was dating Jennifer Aniston. And they put me up first, and I'd just come off this Vegas run where I was doing these 2,000-seat rooms, and I knew how to manipulate the audience and everything. So got a standing ovation at the end, coming out of the gates, and Vince is like, oh, this guy seems all right. Yeah. So, you know, we became best pals after that. It was just off to the races. So it's been, 12 years now. Peter Billingsley, Ahmed, and Vince and I have been friends for a long time. They were all... you know, part of my wedding and everything.
Oh, that's
my
so
best
cool.
man. So yeah, he's just a great, great guy, a solid guy. And he brings that Midwestern value and down to earthness, I think, everywhere he goes. That's why anywhere you're out publicly with him all across the country, people just love the guy. And I think a lot of it is his roots back here in Chicago.
I think so.
We were talking briefly off the air. I don't know much about Pittsburgh. That's where you're from originally.
Yes.
Is it warm and friendly there too?
Pittsburgh is a great It's a great city.
A little hesitation there, Bill.
I'm going to send a tape of this to the Chamber of Commerce in Pittsburgh, so
I'm glad
very
I grew
careful.
Up there. But it's synonymous with sports, much like this town. It's a city that wins. The Penguins are on the verge, potentially, of winning another cup here. For me, there's an edge to Pittsburgh, which I appreciate. I just don't. Pittsburgh can be a strong cup of coffee. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Very blue collar. Very,
very, very blue collar.
Yeah.
And the minute you go up on a peg, you got 10 or 15 guys bringing it right back down to earth, which is great.
Yeah.
That's why I love it. But it is not Philly.
Yeah.
I'll say that. Philly can be a little acidic and a little rough around the edges. Yeah. But Pittsburgh's like a smooth version of Philly. A little.
But you have to know how to forge steel, or they won't talk to you there, right? If you don't have
We put French fries in our sandwiches. So it's just like, you know, we're not a health conscious city. But I mean, look, when I had a choice to film my last hour special that just premiered a month ago on Showtime called Tell the Damn Joke, it was like, do you want to film it back home? And I was like, I got to film in Chicago because Chicago is synonymous with comedy, great rich history, and I just absolutely fell in love with it. And it's not negating my love for Pittsburgh, but if you're going to film an hour, you got to do it here in Chicago.
Good. Love hearing that.
And Andrew Santino just filmed his. He's a Chicago boy, and he's on that new show called I'm Dying Up Here. That's on Showtime about the Comedy Store in the 70s. Here I am plugging somebody else's show, but great guy, great group of comics that are on that show. And if you love stand up, if you can't make it out to my show, you got to check this show out.
It peels back
the curtain. And Andrew Santino is a phenomenal comedian and one of Chicago's own as well.
It's nice of you to do.
Really nice.
He's just a good dude. I think it's a tough enough business as it is, so any opportunity you get to tip the cap to somebody else that's doing something, why wouldn't
What movies should people see if they're not coming out to see you this weekend, Steve? Are there any movies playing?
Wonder Woman comes out June 2nd. Okay, I think it's 88% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know.
Steve Byrne is here. He's appearing at the Improv. There's something you might want to do. Go see Steve at the Improv this weekend. We'll talk more next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve Byrne is here. He is appearing at the Improv all this weekend. Go see him. Why wouldn't you go see him? You just mentioned a name, Peter Billingsley, and it just slid past really quickly. I know you're also friends with him, and you're not here to just name drop, but...
the thought bubbles above our head went off.
Right.
Though.
because for most of us, Peter Billingsley will always be, despite the fact that he has produced some great, great films over the years,
yeah,
he's the kid from Christmas Story. And Ralphie, you're friends yeah. with the kid from Christmas Story. Do you ever think about that?
You know what's so funny? For 2 months, I was friends. I didn't even know it was him. And then somebody's like, that's Ralphie. I'm like, oh, my God. I never put it together. And he is somebody that still... He appreciates the legacy of Christmas Story, and he's proud of it. He produced the Broadway show when it came out. Now it's touring all around the country whenever it's holiday season. And we did a USO tour together about 2 or 3 years ago, and a lot of the soldiers flew in Red Ryder BB guns. And Peter signed every one of them for the, you know, and they sent it back to the family and stuff. So I think it's something that he's proud of. And I think after all these years, he's accepted and, you know, carried the torch and done really well with it.
Good.
Talk about those USO tours, because you mentioned it before. I'm looking at your jacket.
Oh, yeah.
That's got to be such a great feeling.
It's professionally the best shows I've ever done, because even if you go, I literally just got back from Korea and Japan a week ago, mm-hmm. and so, you know, professionally they're the best shows I've ever done, because you could go to Iraq and Afghanistan, they really need it, or you go to Korea and Japan and they still really need it, because they're withdrawn, it's a semblance of home, and there's no better, you know, outlet of laughter or energy that you'll get in the clubs or in theaters than you'll get from those
They're
guys
so and gals. Appreciative that you've come that far to see them. And
yeah. And again, it's
them.
Just some sense of like being back home and talking. And so when you do these USO tours, you go and you tour, you know, we'll go tour the hospital. And, you know, you're meeting people that are sick, but you're also meeting people that are doing paperwork. Then that's not in the commercial.
Right.
You know, you're rappelling out of a helicopter, but people need to fax stuff too. So, you know, there's people that take great pride in that. And then you're meeting like special ops guys that are showing you these dune buggies that have like Uzis attached to them and stuff. And
Man.
They tell you about the regiment. It's like in his class, it was 27 guys and only 3 graduated, and he's tall and good looking, and it's just like, now I want to sue my parents. This is not fair. But, you know, even being in Korea, there's a different perspective, because here the media's perpetuating it that we're, like, we're on the brink of World War III, right? And being of Korean descent, it's like, look, I've driven a Hyundai and a Kia. Those missiles aren't going anywhere.
Right.
So I think we're all okay. But over there, it's just like, are you guys scared? And all the soldiers are like, this has been going on for 50 years. He's posturing all the time. But just for some reason now or another, they're making it seem like it's a bigger issue than normal. And I think we do need to have a little perspective in this country too, because with Trump, everybody's like, Trump's nuts, Trump's off the rails. It's like, well, Kim Jong-un is pretty crazy, guys.
Yeah.
So let's just keep
a
lid on
it. Great haircut.
Great haircut. Super cuts. I guess they have those in Korea. But like, you could have a world leader going, we're going to build a wall. It's going to be a great wall. And trust me, Mexico is going to pay for that wall. You're like, well, that sounds crazy. Or you get this guy that goes, I don't go poop. It's like, did he just say he doesn't go to the bathroom? That dude's crazy. When your best friend's Dennis Rodman and you invented the hamburger, you're nuts.
So you mentioned the troops weren't afraid, and I can't imagine they are, because they've trained for this. But you're there, just a civilian, to entertain the troops.
Yeah.
Are you a little freaked out? Especially when you're looking with the dune buggies with the Uzis on it. It got real, didn't it?
Well, when you're in Korea and Japan or like the Philippines, you know, not in an active theater, then I think you feel a little safer because there's a Burger King right there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in Iraq and Afghanistan, it is a little, you know, I'll never forget the first tour I did was in 2004 with Colin Quinn and Robert Kelly. And this is when it was bad. You know, it was the height of it. And my brother was stationed there in Camp Victory North. So that was great to get to see my brother and hang out. And so he's hanging out with us for the day. And I'll never forget, we go out in Baghdad and we're in the middle of this kind of courtyard outside. And they have a flatbed truck with some camo sheet like on it. And then all these folding chairs in this courtyard. And I'm like, oh, we're going to do the show here. They go, yeah. So I'm looking around. I go, why is that sniper up on that building? They go, well, that sniper is there to look at all the snipers over on that building from the insurgents looking at us. And I'm like, shouldn't we be inside?
Yeah.
Like, why are we doing this outside? But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, all right, this is the gig.
They got it under control.
You know, they look like they know what they're doing.
Right.
They have the drones and the camo. And please, God, let this go well. And, you know, like, if something bad happens, it's like, well, you know,
it'd be kind of cool to go out like this, I guess.
Nice publicity.
Nice publicity, yeah, for the legacy.
This weekend, right, as you're performing at the Improv in Woodfield and there's snipers, that must make you nervous because there's no reason for there to be snipers in Woodfield.
Exactly,
why would they do
yeah.
that?
And I'm performing underneath Elaine Bryant. So,
yeah, so you don't need that.
A little scary, yeah, all around.
That's very scary. You mentioned Korean. Now, if I remember right, half Korean and half Irish, right?
Yes, Caucasian and Asian, which makes me Caucasian is the proper term. So... thank you for the setup, Byron Allen. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. This is Kicking It with Byron Allen.
Yeah.
Welcome aboard.
God.
Be in front of an aquarium and just random.
But, you know, there was a time where stand-ups, they were looking for that kind of a hook of having an interesting genetic mutation. And you,
yeah.
Wow, you hit the jackpot.
I hit the jackpot, and it did nothing for my career.
Nothing.
Nothing for my career. And, you know, it's something you address early on in your career. And then, you know, Sullivan & Son came along, and that was fun to, like, poke fun at stereotypes and everything. And that was part of the fun of Brian Doyle Murray, another Chicago native. Mm-hmm. His character, you know, the show ultimately was different facets of my act. So Carol represented the sexuality or the sex jokes I would make in my act. Brian Doyle Murray was the race. The guys were the Greek chorus and talking about being a young guy and yeah. single and all that stuff. And then my family was there so I could make fun of my mom and my Irish father, who was played by an Italian named Dan Lauria.
Oh,
so
right.
It was kind of a weird thing.
The
but,
father from Wonder Years.
Yes.
From Wonder Years, yeah.
yeah.
And so all those different facets enabled us to talk about not only my upbringing, but race in general, which I think a lot of the comics do
right.
in the parking lot of the Comedy Store or
right.
in the back bar of the Improv.
But there was a time where TV would look for comics, a guy like Freddie Prinze or Gabe Kaplan, and say, we could
yeah.
build a show around them. And you were one of the last bastions of that. They don't do that as much anymore, but they did that
yeah.
with you.
And look, they don't make many multicams anymore.
No.
Either. So, I mean, the multicam is... The thing about the industry which upsets me is that there is a an elitism with these single camera shows
mm-hmm.
because there's clever jokes in them. Whereas a multicam, you're filming in front of a live studio audience and the joke either worked or didn't. And if it didn't make it to air. So everything you see elicited a laughter and the audience doesn't have a gun to their head. They're laughing
right.
at the joke or they're not. And I think that in turn, just with the people that sit in cubicles that review these shows have
mm-hmm.
such a, you know, a distinguished palate that
yeah.
they look down upon these shows that we all grew up with and
yeah.
love. Married with Children, those are hard laughs. Cheers, those are great laughs. And part of me is sad that that show, the multicam sitcom, is slowly fading away in lieu of these single cam shows, which I appreciate them as much as anybody else does. But
mm-hmm.
if you're watching 30 Rock, you're going to go, that was a smart joke,
yeah.
but you're not laughing out loud like you did when you watched Married with
That's
Children.
True.
And that kind of breaks my heart because
yeah.
I grew up with multicams, and our show was a throwback to those
right.
shows. It was
right.
just quick, hard jokes, a sentimental, heartfelt moment at the end, so you knew these people all still loved each other and cared about each other, and that's really what
that's
it was
what you
about.
Wanted.
But
Good.
Nowadays, you know...
It's not like it used to be.
Yeah, as I'm getting ready to go pitch my own single camp, you know, in a few weeks or so, yeah.
Good, you'll get that working.
yeah.
That's Steve Byrne. Go see him at the Improv. You want to visit chicagoimprov.com. All the information is there for tickets and availability throughout the weekend. Great to see you again.
Thank you guys so much for having me. By the way, you know, continued success to you guys, because a lot of times as a comic, you go and do these... tours, you got to promote the shows, whatever. And sometimes these are not as much fun
oh, no.
as they
really?
Set out to be, but this was a blast.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
I
thank
hope
you
so.
Very much.
Nice
thank
to
you.
Meet you.
Appreciate it, guys.
We'll take a quick break and then news is next. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.